Yeah, maybe not. We're holding three lines from the bottom of Zion Amud Beis. And we were discussing yesterday, the Mishnah had discussed the Machlokes B'Shama B'Tilul about the case where you're shechting a chayah or an oif, you have to cover the blood. So what do you do? If you have dirt available ahead of time, then fine. B'Tilul says okay. Otherwise they say no. So then the Mishnah continued, Moedim, that everybody agrees, She'im Shachat, that if the person did shech the animal after the fact, She'yachba Badeka V'Ichasa, that you should go ahead and dig with a shovel and cover the blood. Now, there's a few different malachas and a few different considerations that can come into play over here when we're saying to do this. So we have to consider how we're going to deal with all of those, both according to B'Shama in this case and according to B'Shama in the previous case, where they're saying L'chatchila that you can go and dig. For one thing, you have digging as a malacha, and actually there are two possible malachas involved: as digging, which can be a tolda of the malacha of chorish, of plowing, or boina, right? And actually, back in Shabbos we made a distinction that if a person digs a hole in the ground out in the field, it would be a tolda of chorish because you're doing it to prepare the ground for plowing. Whereas if you're doing it in the house or in your yard or whatever, it would be a tolda of boina. Because
we're talking about Shabbos.
We're talking about Yom Tov. Yeah, Shabbos you can't check.
Shabbos you cannot check.
Yeah.
But if it, can you prepare the ground to cover an animal that was?
No. We're all talking about covering the blood of an animal that was shechted that very same day. So there's that. There's the matter of that if the dirt is not crumbly, then you need to crumble it up. You're not allowed. You have to do kisi adam. The material you're using to cover it with has to be crumbly. It's not necessarily sandy. It has to be earth that's capable of growing plants in it. Generally speaking, for example, desert sand wouldn't necessarily work. But it does have to be crumbly. It does have to be grainy. Let's say.
Sand is not good food.
I'm not sure. I don't think so, because the Gemara talks about a case in Chulin, for example, a person is traveling through the desert. Come sit down and join us. A person is traveling through the desert and shechts an animal and he doesn't have proper dirt to cover it with, but if he has to, let him take one of his pieces of clothing and burn it to produce ashes, which then he can use for kisi adam, because you're allowed to use ashes, as we'll talk about soon. So it goes to show that not necessarily would the desert sand be good. Anyway, so there's that consideration, that you may have to crumble up clods of dirt, and then there's the matter of that the dirt is mukta. So we have to deal with all those things. So first of all, Amar Rabbi Zirka, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, B'hushi yesh le'deko, no, it's b'bar yom. This that we're saying, that you can dig with a spade and cover the blood, is only if it was stuck into the ground ahead of time.
No, it means
stuck into the ground. So what does that accomplish? So one possibility is that then it makes it that once you have the spade stuck in the ground, then you're not totally doing then you're not totally digging on Yom Tov. To a certain degree, this is how Rashi puts it. To a certain degree, it's considered like the digging has already been done. So therefore, you avoid that issue.
Now it means before Yom Tov.
Before Yom Tov. Tosfos talks about a different consideration, that if you have it stuck into the ground already, then it makes it that the dirt is not mukta, because you've already designated by sticking the spade in, you've already designated that you want that. Do you want to use that dirt for this purpose? So that takes care of the problem of chafira or mukta, as the case may be. Next problem, b'haka of kisisha, but aren't you crumbling up the dirt? Again, presumably we're not necessarily talking. The Gemara thinks at this point that we might be talking about regular dirt where you dig it and it forms large clods and you have to crush them in order to get something usable for kisi adam, and that would be a tolda of toichin, of grinding. You're right, but what we're talking about over here is loose dirt, crumbly. The dirt is already crumbly, so therefore there's nothing to crumble. Now, what about the fact that you're making a hole in the ground, which would be binyan? The answer is kedir Rav Abba. This would be like what Rav Abba says, the Amar Rav Abba, ha-choyfa gumma b'Shabbos, if somebody digs a hole in the ground on Shabbos, and in this case on Yom Tov, ve'enet tzarech elul afra, and he doesn't need the hole itself, all he needs is the dirt that comes out of the hole, then he's potter, because that is malacha shein tzricha legufa. Because actually we do pass in the malacha shein tzricha legufa you're chayav for. not like Rabbi Yossi. But no, the reason is, Rashi says over here, because if you're digging the hole because you need the hole itself, that's a constructive purpose. If you're digging it only because you need the dirt, meaning basically you're damaging the ground by doing it, then it's makalkal. And the general rule is that makalkal without a constructive purpose is potter.
But he says here Shabbos.
The same thing applies on Yom Tov.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but the din itself, Rav Abba's din was said about Shabbos.
Right.
But the same concept applies to Yom Tov.
But that's what I was remarking about.
Right. Okay.
Shabbos.
Right.
So by implication, if it has to be notes, it has to be.
It has to be crumbly.
That's grainy.
That therefore you don't have to crumble it. But then there's also Mefarshim point out there's another thing about it also, which is if the earth is crumbly. So crumbly that when you it has to be so crumbly that like a hole won't stay intact in it. If you dig a hole in it, then the sand or whatever it is will just fall right back in.
It never does that.
Yeah, no, it depends. If it's loose earth, it can do that. It doesn't have any cohesiveness.
Maybe in Israel when it's very dry.
Okay, I don't know. Whatever, it's some kind of dirt that doesn't have any cohesiveness to it. So therefore, you don't even have a hole left afterwards. Yeah. Like sand, but maybe not exactly like sand. Yeah. So that takes care of all the issues then. Yeah. Well. Yeah. So there is the thing, and it, you know, we'll go through as we go through the sugya over here that it depends. When again, you know, we're talking about over here b'dieved according to Basil. You weren't supposed to shecht in the first place because you didn't have dirt prepared from beforehand. But since at least you have this decker notes and it's loose dirt, then you've taken care of as many of the problems as possible. You still might have the issue of muktzah. Okay, but in this case, since you have a mitzvah of kisui adam, I'm willing to overlook that. It is a mitzvah from the Torah. Mefarshim do talk about it. It's true. If you shecht an animal and don't do kisei adam, it's not like you're not allowed to eat it. You are allowed to eat it. But on the other hand, for example, the Torah talks about, the Torah brings from Halachas Gedolos, that maybe you shouldn't even say a bracha on kisei adam. Or not that you shouldn't say a bracha, sorry. He says that you should make the bracha after you cover the blood, not before it.
And
normally
you cannot make the bracha on the meat?
No. I didn't say that at all. Let me try that again. On the one hand, it's true. If you don't do kisei adam, you're still allowed to eat the meat. On the other hand, I was saying, the Torah quotes from Halachos Gedolos, from the Goyim, that kisei adam is unlike every other mitzvah. That the Halacha isn't necessarily like this, but there is this opinion, that kisei adam is unlike every other mitzvah. You make the bracha after you do it, not before. Why? Because Halachos Gedolos says, the kisei adam is considered a continuation of the mitzvah of shchita. In effect, you haven't completed the mitzvah of shchita until you do kisei adam.
Like a parasite, I used to say bracha before.
So that we don't hold like halachos gedolos in that, because we hold that kisei adam is considered an independent mitzvah of its own.
There is an opinion
that says that it's actually considered an extension of the shchita, and therefore, granted, you're allowed to eat the meat without doing it, but nevertheless, it's like without it, you haven't really completed the mitzvah of shchita. So again, when we're dealing with one dirabanan, a matter of muktzah, then fine, Basil is willing to be lenient. But if, for example, you have to deal with that there's going to have to be two dirabanans involved, for example, that you have, it's not such loose dirt, for example, so that you'll have a guma left after you dug it up. It's true, making a hole in the ground is only mekalkel, and it's also only osim dirabanan. But putting that together with the issur muktzah of the dirt, already, then they're not going to be willing to allow that. Then Mishnah had said she'efa kira mochanhu, that because the ashes from a stove are considered prepared. In other words, they're already prepared. They're available for use for this kind of purpose, covering the blood. Who said anything about ashes? What do you mean? What do you mean? They agree that if you shechted, what did the Mishnah say? They agree that if you shechted, you should dig with a spade because Eifakira is mukham. What does one have to do with the other? Amar Rabba, Hakakama. What the Mishnah means is not really she'efer, but ve'efakira mukhanu. And here's another detail that Bishama and Bisilla both agree that the ashes from a kira, from a stove, are considered mukham. So the same way as you could use a decker note, the same way, if you have ashes from a stove, you could use those as well.
Still burning?
We'll talk about that in a second. This that we're talking about, that you're allowed to use ashes, would only be if they were burnt before Yom Tov. Because then the ashes are available and you can use them for any purpose. Aval husak b'yamtiv aser. But if the oven was fired on yamtiv, then it would be aser, because then you have, as a case of noilim, then you have those ashes. Beforehand they were something else, they were wood or what have you, and now it's ashes. So Tosfos points out that even according to the opinions that say Tosfos doesn't say it actually, it's put in Shulchan Aruch that the distinction that even if we say that noilud is mutar on Yom Tov, as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, such a major kind of noilud where it's a completely new kind of thing, as opposed to, you know, that they're still going to say is also. However, if these ashes are still suitable to cook an egg in them, meaning they're still hot, then it's mutter, because then they're not mukta, because they still have a use.
Opposed to what?
If they're cold, if you fired the oven on Yom Tov and now it's a couple of hours later, the ashes are cold, we're saying you can't use them. But if the ashes are still hot, so warm that you'd be able to cook an egg in them, then they still have a function, and therefore you're allowed to use them. Which, incidentally, the Taz points out in Shulchan Aruch, we see from this, that you're allowed to use hot ashes to cover the blood. We're not concerned about the fact, other Achronim talk about the concept, you shouldn't use hot ashes, maybe, because then you're going to cook the blood before you have a chance to cover it. He says, obviously, based on our Gemara, it's not an issue.
In this case.
No, we're talking about, once you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to do it on weekdays as well. That's what we're talking about, Kisuyam.
Right.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you would use it for other purposes.
No, we're not saying other things. We're saying there are other Achronim who talk about the idea that you should not use hot ashes. You're allowed to use ashes for Kisi Adam. The Gemara points out in Cholin that Afer Ikri offer, that ashes, even though the Torah says V'chisova offer, that you have to cover it with dirt, Afer, which is ashes, can also be called offer, can also be called dirt. Although Tosfos makes a distinction over here between different kinds of ashes, maybe depending what the original material was. Anyway, the point is there are some kinds of ashes, at least, that you're allowed to do Kisi Adam with. So the Tazas, some Achronim argue that you should not use hot ones, because then you're not covering the blood, you're cooking it before it has a chance to be covered. The Taz says, evidently, based on our Gemara, that's not an issue. Not always. Tanya Nami, how could we learn similar than Raisek? Sha'amru Efer Kirim Mochan, who, when the Chachamim said, when we say in the Mishnah that both with Shama and Besol agree that the ashes of a stove are considered Mochan, Loi Amru Ela Shahusek Meir of Yom Tov. This is only talking about if the oven was fired before Yom Tov. Aval Husek be Yom Tov also, but if it was fired on Yom Tov also, because Noilud, Vim Roy Lutbos be Beitza Mutter. But if it's suitable to cook an egg in it, then it would be Mutter.
Even if it's started on Yom Tov.
Yes, that's what we're saying. The other Achronim who argue with the Taz would counter that what the Braisa would mean, what the Gemara would mean is that when these ashes are still hot, you're allowed to scoop up a scoopful of them, because then they still have a function. Wait until they cool off and then use them for Kisei Adam. So no real proof that you can use them while they're hot.
Take them when they're hot, but then...
Because then they're not mukta at that point. While you're still holding them, you let them cool off. When you're holding something, we talked about this the other day, Tosfos mentioned that if you have a reason to pick up something that's mukta, for example, tzarech gof or mekomo, you're allowed to put it down wherever you need to. Once you have it in your hand, you're not doing any more isser by carrying it around. Right. So about the same token, yes. And the Braisa continues with another detail. Hichnis offer leginer lechovasa. If a person brought in dirt into his garden or into his wound house, mutzah lechasesbo, then he's allowed to use that dirt for covering blood with. We're talking about that he brought in a lot of dirt. But he still has, it's a lot of dirt and he has a big pile of it.
That's true, there's a whole bunch of big things.
Because we're not talking necessarily enough dirt to cover Rashi. It's not necessarily enough to cover the whole thing. Rashi just says he brought in Habra B'makam Pechad, a lot in one place, L'tzorech Ginasei, for the purpose of his garden, or L'tzorech Chuvasei, or for the purpose of his ruined house, L'shoitchan B'ham, to spread it out there. It doesn't necessarily mean to spread out over the whole area, but enough that it would be a significant amount. But then, once you have it still in a pile, then it's still not considered Mukseh, it's not considered like regular dirt, and you're allowed to use it for covering blood. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda said a similar din. Machnas adam b'loy kupasei offer. A person can bring in just a small amount of dirt, just one basket full of dirt. Va'oisa b'kol tzorkei, and then he can use it on Yom Tov for whatever he needs. However, darash ma'zutra mishmeid ma'zutra rabba v'hu shi'yichad le'keren zavis. In this case, that would only be if you set aside a corner for it. when it comes to the previous case, the offer for the dirt that you brought in into the Gino or the Chorva or whatever, since it's a large amount and it's all in one pile, then it doesn't matter whether you designated a certain area for it or you just heaped it up in the middle, let's say. Either way, it's a big pile, so it has a chibbutz of its own. Here we're talking about one small amount, one basketful. You actually have to designate a certain corner for it in order that it's not just buffled to the dirt floor of your house.
But if you take, let's say you have a whole bin of ashes, and you take part of the ashes that is...
Here we're not talking about ashes, here we're talking about dirt.
But I'm going back to the coals. You take part of the coals, and you let them, from the bin, the whole bin is very hot, part of the coal, and you let it cool down. Can you use the rest of the bin afterwards?
Why not? We're talking about for covering blood, yeah. One thing Tosfos points out, what's the difference between what the Braisa is saying and Rabbi Yehuda? So one distinction is the one that Rashi makes between we're talking about a lot of dirt versus a little.
Right.
The second thing Tosfos points out is that in the Braisa's case, we're saying that you'd only be allowed to use this dirt for kisui adam, nothing else.
Right.
We'll talk about on Amud Beis, for example, there are other purposes you might want to use, dirt for on Yom Tov.
Right.
For example, you know, you have a baby running around without a diaper. You need to clean up. You need to cover up his waste. When the Braisa is saying that you brought in dirt for your dinner and your churva, you're allowed to cover with it, may mean only covering the blood of an animal that you shechted,
right,
but nothing else. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda's thing, where he says also by cold soko that you can do everything you want with it. That would be the distinction, because there you're setting aside for it a keren zavit, you're setting aside for it a certain specific area, so therefore you're designating it as something special.
Meaning any usage that you have,
covering blood, covering soya, covering yeah. Yeah. Now, maybe the Gemara says, I have a contradiction to this whole concept that we're saying that you're allowed to bring in dirt, and then and use it for various purposes. The Mishnah in Cholin says koi. Mishnah in Chulin, also in Bikurim, says koi ein sheich dinoyta biyamtuv. That a koi, you're not allowed to shecht it on yamtuv. A koi is the Gemara discusses in a few places, notably in Chulin, what it is. There's a few possibilities. One is that it's a berry of a pneasma, it's a creature that the Chachamim weren't sure whether it's a chaya or a behema. I think some of the Farshim say that it might be a buffalo or something. There's another discussion that koi can be a product of crossbreeding, a goat together with a gazelle, or something like that. So a wild animal and a donkey and a horse would be mules. A koi is a kosher animal. So it comes from a taya shabala tibia, a male goat, a billy goat that mates with a female gazelle. Or deer, or whatever it is, where some again they're closely related enough that they're able to produce offspring. That would be a koi. So there's two possibilities what a koi is: either it's a species of its own, or it's a crossbred
species.
Then it would be, like I say, some of Farshim say it might be a buffalo or something, whatever. You know. Anyway, the point is, throughout Shas, there's always the suffix whether this koi is a chaya or a behemoth. So therefore, and we're saying you're not allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov, the im shechta ein mechasen esda, because if you, the thing is like this, because the suffix chaya, suffix behema, you would have to cover its blood, because if it's a behema, you don't have to, if it's a chaya, you do have to. But on Yom Tov, don't put yourself in a position where you're going to have to cover its blood, because what if it really is a behema, then you're doing it for nothing. You're doing whatever the various things that we discussed before, chafira, and ketisha, and whatever, for nothing. The im shachta, but if you did shechta on Yom Tov, ein mechasen esdame, then you don't cover its blood. Right. Now, because again, not covering the blood doesn't prevent you from eating the meat. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah in full by doing that. One thing is, Mefarshim do point out, if the blood is still visible on the ground, what's a Yom Tov, then fine, you can do kisei adam then. I would say not necessarily is that even going to happen. It might happen, b'chol, that the blood is no longer visible. One other interesting thing, before we should point out, based on a Mishnah in Chulin, you might think to say, okay, you know what I'll do? I'll shecht this koi, I'll collect the blood in a container, and matzi yom tov, I'll pour out the container on the ground and cover it. The answer is there's a Mishnah in Chulin that says specifically you're not allowed to shecht into a container, because then it looks like you're acting like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. who used to take, they take blood, like Lahabdil, like Kohenim did in Ar Beis Hamikdash, and sprinkle it in honor of their god, in honor of their idol. No, they'd catch it in a keli and then sprinkle it. However, Lahabdil, like Kohenim during the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, Bedavka, you're not allowed to shecht into a keli. Anyway, so now if you're telling me that Rabbi Huda says that you're allowed to bring you can have brought in a pile of dirt from before Yom Tov, and then you're allowed to use it for whatever you want, lachasya kid Rabbi Huda, then you should be able to cover it according to what Rabbi Huda is saying. Meaning Mela, again, according to Tosfos' explanation, Mela, the Braisa that had said that if you bring in a big pile of dirt into your garden you can use it for Kisi Adam, fine, maybe that only means Kisi Adam of something that definitely needs Kisui. But Rabbi Huda is saying you can bring in a box full of dirt, a basket full of dirt, and use it for whatever you need. Well, then that should include covering the blood of a koi as well. So why is the Mishnah saying as a blanket statement you cannot cover it on Yom Tov? Really, time ech, like when I ask new, so what are you even bringing in Rabbi Huda? According to your own logic, machasi be'efakira be'deka notes. Let the Mishnah say that you have other possibilities besides bringing in a pile of dirt. Really, time ech means according to your own logic. You, the Maksha, are asking that Rabbi Huda seems to be contradicted by the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is implying there's no way to cover the blood of a koi, and according to Rabbi Huda, there is a way. We're answering back, forget about Rabbi Huda. Even according to your own logic, you would have a stir between the Mishnayos. We have we have that Mishnah says you can't cover it, whereas our Mishnah says you could use Afakira, you could use the ashes from a stove, or Bedeka notes, or you could have a spade stuck into the ground from before Yom Tov. Ella Delesley. So you must say, what is that Mishnah talking about? You don't have any of those. Hachanami Delesley. No, you could say the same thing. When the Mishnah is saying that you can't cover the blood of the koi, means you don't have any of these possibilities. You didn't stick a spade into the ground before Yom Tov, or the ground is not crumbly, whatever. You don't have Afakira, and you don't have a pile of dirt that you brought in before Yom Tov that Rabbi Huda mentioned. And therefore you can't. By the way, of course, Rabbi Huda's pile of dirt also, Rashi points out, again, like we said before, it has to be loose dirt. If it's compact, then you have the same problem.
So it's two different cases.
Yeah. The Gemara says, wait, Ihochi, if that's the case, Ma'iri a suffix, then what does the Mishnah even have to mention a koi, which is a suffix? Afilu Vadainami, then the same thing applies even if you definitely have to cover it. I mean, by the same logic. So, animal that Vadai, the blood has to be covered. If you shecht a deer on Yom Tov, there's no question you have to cover the blood. But the Mishnah should be just as what we're saying. A deer, if you don't have what to cover the blood with, then you shouldn't shecht it on Yom Tov. And if you shechted it, a machas in a stomach, then you can't cover its blood because you don't have any of these things available.
Shouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, well, what's the difference, koi or not? The answer is the Gemara says, maybe lo yabaya karma. Maybe the Mishnah means to say, maybe the Mishnah is telling us that, it's telling us the less obvious case. Needless to say that in the case of an animal that you definitely have to cover the blood, a deer, for example, there's no question if you don't have anything else, if you don't have anything that you're allowed to cover the blood with on Yom Tov, then don't shecht it in the first place because you're going to miss the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. But when it comes to a suffix, where after all you're not even certain whether you need to cover the blood in the first place, maybe you would think because of Simchas Yom Tov, so you'll have meat for Yom Tov, maybe you should be allowed to shecht it, and just you won't bother covering the blood. Kamash Malan, that would be what the Mishnah is telling us. So that would be why the Mishnah is mentioning a koi. Not to tell us the same din wouldn't apply to a deer or a bird or something, but to tell us those, obviously, you can't shecht without and put yourself in a position where you're going to miss the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. But in the case of a suffix, you have to be told.
So
that would be why we need that. But the Gemara says, wait, the Hamid Chatani Sefer, but what did the end of the Mishnah say? V'im shechta ein mechasen es lav. The Mishnah said, if you shechted it, you should not cover its blood on Yom Tov. Miklal d'reisha b'di'islai haskinan, which implies that the earlier part of the Mishnah, or even the last part of the Mishnah, is talking about where you have what to cover it with. Meaning like this. The Mishnah had two parts. It said you shouldn't shecht it, and if you shechted it, you shouldn't cover its blood. Now, you could say the beginning of the Mishnah is saying that don't shecht it, don't think that covered Yom Tov allowed you to ignore the fact that you're going to miss Kisi Adam. But when the end of the Mishnah is saying v'im shechta ein mechasen es damai, obviously if you don't have anything to cover it with, then you're not going to be able to cover it. There's no reason to mention it. So obviously, we must be back to the case where if it was a vada, you would be allowed to cover it, only because of the suffix you're not allowed to. So you're back to the question, why not? Bring it up Yehuda's pile of dirt and cover it.
otherwise, if you didn't think it's quite open.
Yeah, if we said you're allowed to use a pile of dirt, then there is a way you can cover it on Yom Tov, because we're obviously taught, or for that matter, if you had ashes or if you had Decker notes or whatever. It must be that there's some reason why, even if you have something which normally would be available for Kisei Adam, it's not available in this case. Now, why is that? Ela Amar Rabba, Eifer Kirim, Mucham Levadai, Ve'en Mucham Lesafek. The ashes from a stove are only available for a Vadai. They are not available for a Safek. Which, what does that mean? At this point in the argument, at this point in the discussion, we think it means that even though you may have in mind before Yom Tov, you may have in mind all kinds of possibilities that you might be using it for, but we're only going to allow you to use this pile of dirt for things that are avadai. Because otherwise, we're not going to override the issue of mukta, for
instance. Otherwise, the Mishnah should have said cleaner.
Yeah. No, in other words, according to our current understanding, is when the Mishnah is saying that im shachta in mechasen es damai, is even if before Yom Tov you had in mind, I intend to shech this koi. Nevertheless, the Chachamim are not going to allow you to use the pile of dirt to cover it. Because ainim mochan musafik. It's not considered mochan as far as something where there's only a safik where the
Yashtar goes according to Chachamim, in other words.
According to what
you're saying, that even if you had it prepared, but there is a suffix about the animal,
then you're not allowed to. That's right. So it still fits with what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that you're allowed to have a pile of dirt. But Rabbi is saying that pile of dirt, the Chachamim only allow you to use it for a vada.
And Rabbi Yehuda would say,
we don't know what Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi is explaining what Rabbi Yehuda would say. You might ask why. Well, suffix my time allowed to call it guma. What are you telling me that you're not allowed to use it for a suffix because you're making a hole when you're digging it? That dynamic call it guma. When you have an animal that definitely needs kisei adam, you're also making a hole. Ela kedurab abba. What are you answering? You have to say it's like abba because we said before that making a hole is makalkal, so it's not an issue. Well then, hachanami kedurab abba. So then, when it comes to a suffix, also we should apply Rab Abba's point. Why are we making that distinction? Ella, so no, what are we going to say? Suffix my time at Dilma Abd Katisha. So what are you going to say by suffix, by the koi? The problem is that you might crush the dirt. Well then, vada nami nigzum shum katisha. Then in that case, a vada also. So again, the same problem. Why we're still left with why are we making a distinction? Why would we say that this pile of dirt is not available for all cases? The answer is vada ki obit ktisha, true, but when you have an animal that definitely needs kisei adam, even if the dirt does have to be crushed, even if we go back on what we said before, that the dirt is not necessarily offer tichoyach, it's not necessarily loose dirt. What if it is compact dirt and you do have to crush it? That's not an issue because the esse of the shafach of dami v'kisaoba offer overrides the loisese of loisase komalacha on Yom Tov. As opposed, so therefore, with a vada, you're allowed to do that. The suffix, where you're not even with, yeah. So therefore, you can crush it, and therefore you you're doing it in order to be mekayim the mitzvah esse, and that can override the loisese of Yom Tov. But with a suffix, you can't say that because you don't know if you're doing a mitzvah esse. Incidentally, on this whole Gemara, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a long, interesting discussion about this in one of his Trovas in Orach Chaim, where he explains there's two different ways of looking at the suffix, basically. Is it that because of the suffix, whether you have to cover this blood of an animal, therefore that creates a vadai chiyuv on you to do it? Or is it that because of the suffix, basically, the Eibishter knows what the truth is, whether you have to cover it or not? You don't. But it's not, there's no vadai chiyuv on you, it still remains a suffix on you. And he explains our Gemara according to that, why we're distinguishing between the suffix of a koi versus we're going to talk about other status that you might have, whether you're not certain that something is going to happen on Yom Tov.
But he says, if you have a suffix,
one way of looking at it is because the animal is a suffix, you have a vadai chiyuv to do it. As opposed to, your chiyuv is still a suffix. Yeah. So the verse says why? When do you say that an esse can come and override a loisese? When mila b'tzaras is, for example, when you have to just start, when a person has tzaras on his orla, normally there's an isser to cut. Normally there's an isser loisese. There's a loisese to damage any simon of tzaras. Yishama b'negat tzaras. Yishama is a loisese. But when there's mila, then the mitzvah esse of mila overrides that. We had a whole discussion about it in Shabbos. Inami sodin mitzitzis, or another example is wearing a linen sheet and putting woolen tzitzis on it. Where the thing is, usually the tzitzis are made out of the same material as the beged. So you could put linen tzitzis on a linen beged. The problem is, in the days when they had tchelas by definition is wool dyed blue. So therefore you have to have wool there. So we're talking about the talus is made out of linen. The word sudden literally means a sheet, because, you know, then, as in more recent times, sheets, bed sheets and whatever were made out of linen. You don't want to sleep on woolen sheets. So there's a reason why they call them linen in English. So because they used to be made out of linen. Nowadays they're made out of polyester or whatever, but yeah. So if you have a sudden, a linen sheet, and you want to put tchelos on it, necessarily it means it's going to be shatnez. But you're allowed to do that. That's the thing. Because at the same time that you're uprooting the lav, you're fulfilling the eser. The same moment when you're cutting off the tzaraach and therefore being over on Hisham ben Agat tzaraach, the same moment you're doing the mitzvah of mila or maltim of tzara laschem, and the same moment that you're putting on the beged with woolen tzitzis on it, where you're being over on wearing shatnez, at the same moment you're being mekayim, but also lahem tzitzis.
And for the mila.
Same idea. Incidentally, I mean, this...
You remove the
tzaraach, but you would be a mekayim, mitzvah tzara of mila. So they're both happening at the same time. Here, what are you doing? You're crushing the dirt, which is tochen. Later on, you're going to use this crushed dirt for kisei adam. So they're not both happening at the same time. By the way, as far as the sodden mitzitzis, it turns out that in the end, it's not so simple. First of all, you have the issue nowadays is no tchelos, so you don't have that anyway. But besides that, also the Gemara mentions in Menachos that eventually they made a gzeira not to do this, not to wear a sudden betzitzis, because you might end up wearing the sudden at night. By night, there's no chiyuv tzitzis, so therefore you'd be over on the issur of shatnez without doing the mitzvah tzitzis.
We wear
wool of tzitzis. Or tzitzis, the beged is wool, and the tzitzis themselves are wool. But if you were to take, so nowadays you don't have the heter of a chal because we don't have tchelos, so you don't have the heter of putting woolen tzitzis on a linen beged, because you could just as well put linen tzitzis on it. But even in the days when they had tchelos, eventually they made a gzeira that you're not allowed to do this because you might end up wearing it at night.
Why can't you put a tzitzis on?
Because we have talked about it before, I think, but I mean this isn't really the place for it, but briefly, there are Rishonim, I believe the Rambam, holds that only wool and linen garments are chayiv in tzitzis min haTorah. All other ones are only chayiv min Rabbanan. So if you want to fulfill the mitzvah min haTorah, you got to wear wool or linen. Yeah. Yeah. So the Gemara says, no, hola kasha, that's not a big deal. The bahadi, the chadish, kamachati. What you do is you do them together. You hold the clod of dirt over the pool of blood over there. You scrape it off, and you're scraping it off to cover the blood. So the both things are happening. Yeah. And you at the same time, yeah. So then you are doing the left and the light set together. However, soif, the Gemara says, it's not so simple. Yom Tov is not just a loyseh. Okay. There's not just a loyseh of kol malachas avod leitasu. Yom Tov esev a loyseh. Yom Tov, there's an esev and a loyseh. The Rambam and Hilchos Yom Tov lists for the six Yom Tovim throughout the year. For each one, there's an esev that each one is called a shabboson in the Torah, which implies that you have to rest on it. Well, that's a mitzvah esev. And then there's a loyseh that don't work on it. Kol malachas avod leitasu. So Yom Tov is an esev and a loyseh. The ein esev doches loyseh. The esev and esev cannot override a loyseh and an esev. Why? Because the whole idea why we're saying why can an eser be docha loyseh is that we learn it from sukkim. An eser can be docha loyseh only when it's only a loyseh. We learn it from sukkim, but actually one idea of it is because then when you know the eser basically is more important than the loyseh. But after all, you have an eser as well.
Now, are these yours? These are ours, yeah. These are yours. This is ours. Hello, my friend.
Those are yours, yeah.
This is mine. Okay, fine.
The rest of these are.
Okay. Let's pull this out.
Okay. Yeah. So like this, if you're being over one, you can't be over one essay in order to fulfill another essay. Because the both S's are on an equal level. Ultimately, it has to be a loist essay. So if there's an S and a loist essay here, then you can't do that. Yeah. So how can you say that you can, how can you say that you should be allowed to crush the dirt, the clod of dirt, in order to do Kisei Adam? Which if Kisei Adam is only an essay, to crush it on Yom Tov would be an S and a loist essay.
Would be an
S and a loist essay to do Kisei, yeah.
Yeah.
So why would we make a distinction that the Vada you're allowed to cover the blood, but the Sofik you're not allowed to? What's the difference? Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says, Efakira Daita Lavada then Daita Lasafik. What we mean is the ashes or any of the other things, there's a pile of dirt, etc., you only have in mind for a Vada. You don't have in mind for a suffix. Meaning before we were assuming that we're saying Vada and suffix, we're saying the Chachamim don't allow you to use it for a suffix. Now we're saying, fine, the Chachamim may not have a problem with you using it for a suffix, because after all, the same thing as a Vada. You yourself don't have in mind that to use it for a suffix.
That's a problem.
And that would be a problem, because then it's Mukta. Then the dirt is Mukta. So even if it's loose dirt, and even if you have decker notes and so forth, but you or in this case where we're talking about ashes, which themselves are muchan, but you yourself don't consider them muchan as far as something which is a suffix, where there's only a suffix whether you have to cover the blood or not. So this is where, for example, Rav Moshe Feinstein's distinction between the two different ways of looking at your chiyuv of a suffix comes into play. If we say that your chiyuv when the animal is a suffix, your chiyuv itself is a suffix, then yeah, you may not have that, you don't have in mind to set aside these ashes for something where the chiyuv itself is only a suffix. As opposed,
you can never have it in mind.
Apparently that's the idea,
that's
yeah.
Conclusion.
Yeah. Well, that's not the conclusion. We're still going on the discussion, but yeah, that's where we are so far. But as the Rav Latime, and Rav goes according to his own reasoning, Da'amar Rav, hichnis offer l'chassis v'tzayah, the person brought dirt into his house intending to use it to cover waste. For example, Rashi says he has a kid running around the house, and, you know, the kid not in diapers. So you have it for that purpose. Mutal lachasis by dam tzipor. Then you're allowed to instead take some of that dirt. If you want to shech the bird on Yom Tov, then you're allowed to. Because once you set it aside for a suffix, the kid might make on the floor, then how much more so? You have it available for a vadai, a bird which definitely needs kisei adam.
When Rabbi Yehuda said kol sarke,
that's what we're discussing over here. So far we're saying is kol sarke means only tzrachim which are vadai. But wait. On the other hand, dam tzipor, if you brought in the dirt intending to use it to cover blood of a bird, also lachasis by tzoya, you're not allowed to use it to cover waste. Why? Because the waste is only a suffix. Not necessarily is the kid going to make on the floor. Or even if he does, not necessarily is it going to be someplace that will be disgusting. What if he does it, you know, outside the house? So therefore, it's only a suffix whether you're going to need it, and therefore Rava is saying you didn't have in mind before that. For that.
Can't you say for a kid it's different?
No. What we're saying, in other words, the point is that Rava is saying that any time there's a suffix whether you're going to need something, you didn't have it in mind.
Regardless if it's kisui dam or something else.
No, so if you brought the dirt in intending to use it for a suffix,
right,
then you can use it for a vadai, but not vice versa. So therefore, when you brought in, when Rabbi Yehuda tells you you're bringing in your pile of dirt, and we're assuming you only had in mind for things that you're definitely going to need to cover with dirt. Well, because you don't necessarily need to cover, so therefore you can't. And similarly, Rava is saying, the kid's waste, not necessarily, is there going to be a situation where you need to cover. Maybe you'll get into the bathroom in time, maybe he'll do it in a place where it's with, and therefore you cannot. Unless you had that in mind to begin with, yeah. Nahar Bala Yamri, on the other hand, the rabbis of Nahar Bala said, Rashi quotes over here from Sanhedrin that this is Rami Bar Beribi. Nahar Bala is in Babel.
Yeah.
And the Gemara has it at the end of the first parak of Sanhedrin, a list of this kind of thing, that when the Gemara says, for example, Nahar Baloi Amri, it means a certain person. When it says Mechaku Alei B'Ma'arava, they lacked up this din in Eretz Yisrael, it means a certain Amorita from Eretz Yisrael, and so forth. There's a number of things like that. So anyway, the Nahar Baloi, you say, Afilu Hichnes Ofa Lachasis by Dam Tzipor, even if you brought in dirt to cover, intending to use it to cover the blood of a bird, Mutu Lachasis by Tzaya, you're allowed to use it to cover Tzaya, because again, over here, it's Karev Levada, it's almost certain, it's almost certain that you're going to need it for the Tzaya sometime during Yom Tov.
For them, but not for the trees.
According to Rava, not according to Nahar Baloi, yeah.
Could that mean because it's in bubble instead of Eretz Yisrael?
No, because Rava is also in bubble. Amri b'mar Rava. So now they said in Eretz Yisrael, Pligi bar Rab Yosi bar Choma v'Rab Zera, that Rab Yosef actually it says on the side here, bar Choma, who is Rabin's father, and Rab Zera argued on that. But Amri La, or a different version was Rava b'Rei de Rab Yosef bar Choma v'Rab Zera. Rava, the famous Rava from the Gemara, his father was Rab Yosef bar Choma, and Rab Zera. So in Eretz Yisrael, evidently they didn't know Rava so well as in Babel, so therefore they had to call him by his father's name to distinguish him. Yeah, incidentally, the Yerushalmi quotes this line also more or less as we have it in the Gemara. In the Gemara over here, because we're saying Amri Mar Rava, they said this in Eretz Yisrael. But the interesting thing about it, this is the only place in the Yerushalmi where they quote Rava, because Rava lived at the very end. Rava lived at the tail end of when the Yerushalmi was being composed. So therefore, they didn't have a chance. And then at that time, there were persecutions in Eretz Yisrael. The Yerushalmi never ended up getting completed properly, etc. So therefore, they didn't have as much of a chance to hear anything that he said. So there's only this one thing.
Just one thing.
Yeah. Anyway. So according to the second version, Rava and Rav Zera argue, Chad Amar Koi Hareu Ketzaya, one says that the blood of a Koi is on the same level as Tzaya, but Chad Amar Koi Eini Ketzaya, the other one says not. If you say it's like Tzaya, then again, if you brought in dirt intending to use it for Tzaya, then you are allowed to use it for a Koi, because they're both Tzaya. As opposed to, if you say it's not left Tzaya, then it means that even that still you still have to distinguish between, for example, dam tzipor is a definite thing, you have to cover it. Tzaya of a cotton is not definite, but it's almost definite, 90% certain. Whereas a koy is only 50-50. So therefore, even if you brought it, so according to this version, even if you brought in the blood, the dirt for Tzaya, you're not allowed to use it for a koy.
Why is the koy such a
problem? Because we don't know whether it's a chai or a behemoth. Yeah. Yeah. Now, which one said which? Tistayim, we can conclude, the Rava who da'ama koi hareyu ketzaya, that Rava is the one who says that a koi is like tzaya, da'ama Rava, hifnes afa l'chassas by tzaya, muta l'chassas by da'asibur, because Rava had said that if you bring in dirt to cover up tzaya, you're allowed to cover with it the blood of a bird that you shecht on yomtiv, but da'asibur also l'chassas by tzaya, but if you bring it in for the blood of a bird, you're not allowed to use it to cover up tzaya. Tistayim, so that proves it, because in other words, Rava is saying, a doubt is a doubt. We're not distinguishing between 50% and 90%. Tzaya, even if it's 90%, it's still a doubt, unlike a bird which you know for sure is 100%, you have to cover it. So anything less than 100%, if you brought the dirt in mind, only for vada, then you're not allowed to use it for any kind of suffix. Well, then the same thing would work in reverse. If you do bring it in for a suffix, all sphakas are on the same level, effectively. So once you brought it in for tzaya, then yes, you are allowed to use it for a kai. Yeah, tisayim, so that proves it. Now, all this time we've been talking about the reason why you can't cover the blood of the Choy on Yom Tov, we're saying is because of this issue of using dirt, and then Choyfer, and then Koysish, and whatever, and that brought us into this whole discussion about the different purposes of the pile of dirt. Now we have a different reason. Rami Birei Durav Yeh Ma'amar, Koy Hainu Taimer Delay Machasinin. You know what the real reason is you don't cover the blood of a Choy on Yom Tov? Not because of any of the considerations we had before about Muksa and Kodesh and whatever. But a different reason. Gzeira Mishma Taras Chalbe. It's Gzeira because if you cover the blood of it, people might come to think that the chalav of it is allowed to be eaten. Namely, besides the difference of Kisi Adam between domestic and wild animals, another difference is the chalav of domestic animals you're not allowed to eat. Of cows, sheep, and goats, you're not allowed to eat. And if you do, you get Taras. The chalav of a cow, a sheep, or a goat, a domestic animal, you're not allowed to eat.
Chalav meaning the fat.
Certain kinds of fat. There's chalav and there's shuman. Chalav is actually the sheets of fat. There's certain, mostly it's the sheets of fat that are inside the animal, like the top of the stomachs and whatnot. Basically. As opposed to, for example, I mean, you know, yeah, as opposed to meat fat, you know, you eat a steak with fat in it, you're allowed to eat the fat. Yeah.
Where
the chaya, you're allowed to eat all the fat in it, both the chalav and the shuman. So now, when it comes to people are used to the idea that anything that you have to cover the blood of, you're allowed to eat the chalav of. Birds also. So therefore, but on the other hand, a koi, on the one hand you have to cover the blood because it's a suffix, it might be a chaya. On the other hand, you're not allowed to eat the chalav because it's also a suffix, it might be a behemoth. If we allow you to cover the blood of it on Yom Tov, you might think that it's a chaya and come to eat the chalav. So if that's the case, then you shouldn't be allowed to cover the blood of the koyan on a weekday either. The answer is b'chol nami l'naka chatzeru. But that's what we're asking. Why not? Why didn't the Chachamim say, don't ever cover the blood of a koi, even on weekdays? Because you might forget. Mimasa the chaylev.
And the reason is?
The reason is, fine, but on a weekday, people are not going to realize that you're covering the blood as a matter of kisei adam. They're just saying, you know, the people will just think, you want to clean up your chatzir. You don't want to have a pile pool of blood in your chatzir. Whereas on Yom Tov, you don't have that issue. So therefore, if you're doing kisei, people are going to think you're doing it as an actual mitzvah. Yeah. And therefore, the chaylev is allowed, yeah. And they were asked why. In that case, shachat ba'ash for ma'ikul meimer. New, then what are you going to say, for example, if on weekdays if a person shechts the koi in a garbage heap, where there's no issue of keeping it clean, are you going to say that you shouldn't allow him to cover the blood, because they are necessarily, he's doing it in order to do the mitzvah? Or bali molech ma'ikul meimer? Or what if the person comes to the rav to ask, I have a koi, I'm shechting it, should I cover the blood? Should the chachamim tell him, go cover the blood? Again, he might think that the chaylev is mutter. Maybe they should tell him, no, don't cover the blood. If you yourself, you decide your chatzer is dirty and you want to clean it because I'm dehei. So you can't say that. Ella, b'chol, no, the reason is like this. Ella, b'chol, inami miseika amir l'rabbanan zil tarach b'kasi. On weekdays, even granted maybe it's a suffix, fine. But the rab will tell him, go cover it. That is because it is, go to the trouble of covering it. Fine, because it's a suffix after all. So therefore, he won't think to be master the chaylev, because he'll realize, yeah, but after all, it is a suffix. So the rav is paskening to be on the safe side, go cover it. That doesn't necessarily mean I should eat the chaylev. But Yom Tov, eat a sapka, but on Yom Tov, if it's a suffix, me amri le rabbanan zil tarach v'kasi, would the rabbanan tell him, go to the trouble of covering it, where it might not even be a mitzvah? No. So on Yom Tov, there's reason to say that you should not be allowed to cover it. Because don't do it like this by not covering it by not because if you were going to cover it, where the chachamim are allowing you to be over on various things that normally would be also on Yom Tov, digging, where even if it's off a tichayach and even if it's mekalkol and so forth, usually it would be also on Yom Tov, etc. So then you're going to think, you know, why the chachamim are allowing me to cover it on Yom Tov? Because it must be a real chaya, and therefore the chaylev is mutter. As opposed to on weekdays, fine, they don't have to allow me anything, and you're allowed to dig on weekdays. This din does not apply only to a koi about not covering the blood on Yom Tov. Even if a person, for example, shechted domestic animals and wild animals and birds, when it's avu dam and zebazan, all the blood got mixed together, where you have the wild animals and the birds, you do have to do kisei adam, the behemoths you don't.
In one place.
Also, you're not allowed to cover it on Yom Tov. However, Amar Rav Yosi bar Yasina, lo shanu ela shein yochal l'chatzoisa b'kira achas. This is only if you're not able to cover that entire pool of blood in one digging of the spade. So in other words, avol yochal l'chatzoisa b'kira achas, but if you're able to cover it with one spade full of dirt, so you're digging up one spade, which you would be able to use to cover the blood of a chaya, and it'll be enough to cover all of them, then mutter. Then you're allowed to. Ask Pshita. And the answer is, Ma'ud Tema, Nigdit, Kira Achas. Because obviously, if you can do it all in one, you're allowed to do Kisi Adam for the chaya. The reason why we're saying you're not allowed to do it in this case, we have Behema Chaya V'Oif, is because you're doing Tircha for the covering the blood of the animal, which is not a mitzvah. Of the domestic animal, of the behemoth, which is not a mitzvah. But obviously, if you can do it with one spadeful, you're not doing any extra malacha in order to cover the blood. That's the pshita. The answer is ma'od tema. You might have thought, nigzah, kira achas, otter state kiras. Maybe you should not even be allowed to do the one spadeful, because you might forget and do two. And then only one of them is needed for the chaya, and the other one is being used for the behemoth. Kamash malon, that is the chiddush, that if you're able to do it all in one spadeful, then we're not worried about that. But yes, if it takes more than one spadeful to cover that whole pool, then we're not going to allow it. Because then, even though we said, so Tosfos points out over here, and this applies really to the whole previous discussion, that after all, the Torah says to do Kisei Adam, how can the Chachamim tell you not to? The answer is because the Shev Val Tase. It's not the Chachamim are not telling you to actively violate something in a Torah. They're just telling you passively to refrain from doing something that the Torah says to do. The same principle is why the Chachamim can tell us, for example, don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos, because you might carry it. The same way the Chachamim are able to tell you over here, don't cover the blood, because you're doing Tircha, the Shalom Tzorach on Yom Tov.
Fine, but if it was a low side, they couldn't come and tell you, do it.
Right.
But not to do
an asset that they're able to do, right.
Thank you.